this point, all of Bikini Bottom knows I'll never be able to drive a boat to save my life. I failed boating school so many times, I lost count. In spite of this, it has long been my life's mission to earn my driver's license. Once I can drive, I can finally drive to work instead of walking like a loser. I'll be able to drive myself all over Bikini Bottom whenever and wherever I want. I could get away from that jerk Squidward and that buffoon Patrick. Hell, if I can drive a boat, maybe a girl will actually go on a date with me, and I can finally get some clam in my life. Unfortunately, each time I fail boating school, that dream looks more and more like a fantasy. Don't get it twisted, though. I don't dread going back to boating school every time because I'm afraid I'll fail. No, I'm terrified of the woman who runs it, Mrs. Puff. She was a nice lady when I first met her, but then I happened. Every single time Mrs. Puff gets in the boat with me to take the driving test, I end up crashing and sending her to the hospital. I must have put her through 100 serious wrecks. I'm a sponge. I can absorb the impact just fine, but Mrs. Puff, on the other hand, she has a tendency to blow up. I'm on my last chance to get my license this time. I'm gonna end her life if I crash again. I've noticed in class this time around that she looks like she's on the verge of having a total mental breakdown at all times. Knowing this is my last chance, I'm pulling out all the stops. I reached out to Mrs. Puff a few days before the test, asking her if there was anything I could do to improve my chances. Strangely, I didn't get the usual answer of, no, we already tried everything. Instead, she told me about some special new method where the test is taken at night. Mrs. Puff said it was easier and less overwhelming because there's less traffic at night. To be honest, I wasn't too sure about it. She told me to come really late at night when nobody else would be around. I knew it was sketchy, but I also had no choice. That wasn't my only plan to increase my odds of passing, though. It's been a long time since we tried it, but I also asked Patrick to help me again doing the same plan with the hidden radio and the binoculars like last time. On the day of the test, my nerves were out of control. I had to go to work at the Krusty Krab first, and for all of those 12 hours on the job, I couldn't stop thinking about the test. When I finally got home, I had to cancel jellyfishing with Patrick to practice our plan. We worked on it for hours until it was the middle of the night, when Mrs. Puff said to be at boating school. I told Patrick to be ready at the spot on the hill, and we went our separate ways. I was terrified out of my mind when I met with Mrs. Puff. She looked even more deranged and psychotic than ever. Even worse, when I tried to radio Patrick that we were about to start the test, I didn't get a response. I kept trying to check in with him without Mrs. Puff noticing, but he had gone radio silent. Something was wrong, but there was no way for me to know, and now I had to do the test on my own without help. We started off going down the course like we had done a million times. Mrs. Puff was breathing down my neck, watching me like a hawk, just waiting for me to make the tiniest mistake so she could end the test. I was sweating bullets, trying to be as careful as possible. I made sure I didn't miss a single turn, cross a single line, or fail to signal or do anything else wrong. The finish line was so close, but then Mrs. Puff told me to stop and said she was taking the test into her own hands. Mrs. Puff, is this part of the test?
Why, yes, SpongeBob. I did say this was a special test, didn't I?
Well, yeah, but what does that mean, exactly?
Let's go on a little cruise around Bikini Bottom.
But
I... Just drive before I blow something up! I'm not talking about myself!
I could cheer you some stress relief. Suddenly, I was going 80 miles an hour. No matter how fast I went, Mrs. Puff kept telling me to go faster. She was forcing me to pass on the wrong side of the road, weave through traffic, and take turns like a madman. It was the most insane test of my life. We even went through rock bottom. At times, I was sure I was gonna crash, and I didn't want to keep going, but I had no choice but to be her Uber. We drove for hours. Then finally, we ended up back at school. I was in shock. I hadn't crashed. At last, I passed, and I was going to get my driver's license. I started to celebrate, but then Mrs. Puff tore me down all over again.
Great job, SpongeBob. You did everything so perfect.
I did. I can't wait to tell Gary and Squidward and Mr. Krabs.
Let me reward you with your new driver's license. How about you grab it for me in the trunk?
Oh, thank you, Mrs. Puff. I'm so excited. Dear Neptune, no! Mrs. Puff, please! I'll do it right next time! I won't cheat, I swear!
I've been a boating instructor for nearly 20 years. Everyone in Bikini Bottom who's gotten their license in the last 2 decades knows me as Mrs. Puff. It's not glamorous, but at least I know I've created a memorable image of myself in this town's eyes. However, after thousands of tests I've given, I hardly remember any of the faces I see. They all just stare blankly at me in the classroom, then they rotate in and out of the driver's seat of the old testing boat. That's why it's extra special when someone sticks out. My most recent memorable encounter was with the handsome fellow named Clyde. He was last on the docket for testing that day and twice as old as the rest of the students. When we finished the test, I told him he passed. He didn't get out of the boat. He stayed and started making eyes at me. Clyde told me that I was the only reason he even bothered to get his license. He knew taking a class was a guaranteed way to get close to me. Now, with the course over, it was time for him to buck up. Eventually, I caved. I let him drive us to my house while I relaxed and listened to him say all the wonderful things he thought about me. When we arrived, I told him to take a seat on the couch and get comfortable. I'd had a long day and needed an equally long bath to decompress and freshen up. I wanted to see if Clyde could be trusted to be left alone in my house unattended, or if he would ultimately fail the most important test for being with me.
I've been dreaming of being in Mrs. Puff's house for months, about how it would look and smell, and now finally, I was in it. Even better, just one room away, she was undressing and dipping into a warm, steamy bath. I wanted to join her more than anything, but I held myself back from going that far too quickly. I could barely contain myself, though. I got up and started walking around, just looking at stuff, not touching anything. Not at first, anyway. I eventually found myself in her kitchen, staring at an empty glass by the sink. Mrs. Puff must have drank from it that morning, leaving a perfect lipstick stain on the rim. The compulsion to pick it up and kiss the mark of where her lips had been was overpowering, and once I succumbed to that, the floodgates were open. Next thing I knew, I was sneaking into her bedroom and opening her dresser. I found her panty drawer and buried my face in it, taking in the sweet aroma. I was getting nosier and started digging through her closet. Mrs. Puff had a filing cabinet in her closet. I decided to check it out. I had no idea how big a mistake I was making. I opened the first drawer and saw all these files of people's names, including Mrs. Puff's own name. The next drawer was full of dates, all from different events in her life. The farther back I went, the more I discovered Mrs. Puff was not who she said she was. In her earlier life, she went by a different name and led a very different life. The sweet woman I knew was nothing more than a facade concealing a deranged criminal. She was arrested and hunted by police for committing horrible crimes. She had all these photos and newspaper clippings to commemorate the people she robbed and took out. I was shitting bricks, realizing I had fallen in love with a lie. I had to get the hell out of there. I tried to quietly close the cabinet and escape, but by then, it was too late. Mrs. Puff was standing right behind me. She was dripping wet, wearing just a towel. She asked me what I was doing, and I tried to play it off. I offered to go home, but she said I needed to stay and go through with our date. She had gotten herself ready for me, and her bed was waiting for us. I knew I didn't have a choice. She stripped me of all my clothes, and we went into the sheets together. She was on top of me, just like I had always dreamed of, but I couldn't stop thinking about how she was a dangerous criminal. She kept reaching for my throat, and I kept pushing her away because I just couldn't trust her. Then, out of nowhere, she started strangling me.
I managed to break free and roll off the bed, but Mrs. Puff wasn't about to let me go. I thought just maybe none of this stuff about her past really mattered. Get away from me!
Oh, come on, Clyde. Come back. I was just trying to be freaky.
Stay away from me! I just want to go home, okay?
You want to know why they call me Mrs. Puff?
No. Why? No! No! No!
You should have minded your own business, Clyde.
My life is one marked by a long history of success. Ever since I was a tiny little crab, I've wanted one thing more than anything else. Money. These days, I get to reap the rewards. I've cut my workforce down to just 2 employees, a stagnant squid and a naive sponge, who are both either too lazy or too stupid to figure out how badly I'm ripping them off. I boss them around all day while I relax in my office counting all the money I've made by selling addictive junk food to schools of willingly ignorant fish. When I get home, my life is about the same. I take a load off on couch cushions stuffed full of cash. I bathe in pots of gold to make sure my shell glistens like a freshly minted coin. I decorate my house with money. I talk to the money. I watch TV with my money. No matter what I'm doing, my money is always with me. Although, despite how overwhelmingly wealthy I am, I'd be lying if I said I didn't often get the sense that my life is still missing something very important. Companionship. Yes, it's true. Success can make a man quite lonely. I've had dates with women here and there, but nothing ever works out. And for reasons I legally can't explain, there just aren't as many lady crabs around for a sad, old man crab like me to pursue. Then I got a phone call. Out of the blue, the lovely widow Mrs. Puff was on the other end of the line, and she was asking me out on a date. Of course, I still remember how our last date went. What with her cleaning out my pockets at that uppity high-class restaurant. But I knew I couldn't let this opportunity go, so I agreed. My first thought to keep the spending under control was to offer up the Krusty Krab as the perfect spot for our date, but Mrs. Puff accused me of being cheap and lazy. I had to backpedal extensively, explaining that we wouldn't just be eating there like normal customers, but in a special after-hours dinner setting with table service and the entire restaurant to ourselves. Once I got off the phone, I got SpongeBob and Squidward on a 3-way call. SpongeBob agreed, but Squidward took some convincing. I had to offer him overtime. And after I got that all sorted, I put on my suit and went to the Krusty Krab. Squidward was just sitting his lazy keister at the register, but thankfully SpongeBob had already set the atmosphere, so all I had to do was sit at the table and wait for my date to arrive. And when she did, she was like a blimp on the horizon, growing bigger and more beautiful with every second. I knew the double doors were a good investment when she squeezed her brilliant, bulging body through them, making this BBW-loving sailor swoon. When she sat down, the reinforced chair I prepared for her buckled and struggled underneath her. Dear Neptune, I wanted to be that chair so bad. I was about to replace it right then and there, but then SpongeBob came up and made me remember my decorum.
Greetings, lady and gentlemen. Are you ready to place your orders?
What? Oh, right. Yes, we would like 2 Krabby Patties, please.
Excellent choice, sir. I'll get the kitchen right on that.
Now, wait a minute, boy. You haven't taken my order yet.
Oh, my apologies, madam. And for you?
I would like 100 Krabby Patties, please.
Of course, madam. 100 Krab... Wait, what? 100 Krabby Patties? Mr. Krabs, there's not enough meat for that many patties!
Boy, I don't care what you have to do, but I better see 100 Krabby Patties in front of my beautiful, hungry date! You hear me?
Yes, sir!
Admittedly, things weren't going as well as I'd hoped. Then the food came out. I didn't know how SpongeBob did it, but he cooked up those patties like I'd never seen them. I wanted to take a moment to appreciate it, but Mrs. Puff dove straight in, devouring patty after patty. I was awestruck. Aye, little lady, you sure can put it away.
Uh-huh. You gonna eat those?
I guess not, if you want them.
Thanks. You know, I'm still hungry.
Well, I'm sure we can... Ah! SpongeBob! Help me! Attaboy, SpongeBob!
I guess I'm satisfied, for now, but you won't get away alive next time.
I think we're safe now, Mr. Krabs. She's gone.
Aye, for now at least. Say, SpongeBob, I gotta know how you did it. How'd you make 100 Krabby Patties if there weren't enough meat?
I made Squidward help me at the grinder.
Yeah!